You know, it's almost become a cliche to talk about how difficult things are these days, especially for those of us in the church. The problem for us in the church is that most of our traditional models of being church together involve coming together to a particular location for worship and study and fellowship. Yet in the coronavirus world we inhabit now, we are a diaspora. That is, we are a group that is spread throughout all of the region who can't gather together. And in being dispersed, we're trying to figure out how to be church in a new way. Now, the letter that we call 1 Peter was written to a community that was likewise dispersed, and it was going through tough times as well. And so over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be spending some time going through that letter to see what it might say to us in our current situation. This is Prime Worship. The Lord be with you.
This is Prime, the online service of prayer and praise for and from the City Road Chapel United Methodist Church, located in Madison, Tennessee. This service is for May the 17th, 2020, the sixth Sunday of the season of Easter.
Let us pray. God of love and light, all that we have and all that we are comes from you. Let us never forget your grace. And fill us with the Spirit of love, which shows forth your light in the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Gracious choice. Hallelujah. Amen. Come lift your hearts on high. Hallelujah. Amen. Let praises fill the sky. Hallelujah. Amen. He is our guide and friend. To us he'll condescend, his love shall never end. Hallelujah, amen. Praise yet the Lord again. Hallelujah, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Hallelujah, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Hallelujah, amen.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The City Road Chapel United Methodist Church is a faith community located in Madison, Tennessee, whose mission is to grow in Christ and share God's love. We are men and women, old and young, committed to Christ's call to grow in our love of God and love of neighbor. We do that through worship, prayer, study, and service to our community. We want to connect with you, and we encourage you to visit our website at cityroadchapel.org for the latest information on what is happening with our church, to share your prayer requests, and to make donations to our work. Our ministry is dependent on the gifts of those who support what we're doing in Madison. If you would like to make a gift to the work of City Road Chapel, please visit cityroadchapel.org/give to make your online donation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and all gifts are tax deductible. If you have a pastoral need, we hope that you'll reach out to our pastor, Jay Voorhees, at jvoorhees@cityroadchapel.org, or by calling the church office at 615-868-1673. The City Road Chapel United Methodist Church has been a proud part of the Madison community for over 100 years, and we are committed to sharing God's light and love in this place for many years to come. Our scripture reading today comes from the letter of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and begins with an address from Peter himself. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's chosen strangers in the world of the diaspora who live in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father chose you because of what he knew beforehand. He chose you through the Holy Spirit's work of making you holy and because of the faithful obedience and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May God's grace and peace be multiplied to you. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through his faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power so that you can receive the salvation he is ready to reveal in the last time. You now rejoice in this hope, even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials. This is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've never seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you trust him, and so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, your salvation. As you reflect on the scripture, take some time to think about these questions. In our current context, what does it mean to live as one of God's chosen strangers dispersed throughout the land? How do you personally experience the living hope that was given through the resurrection of Jesus? Do you believe that your faith is tested or proven through experiencing trials and difficulties?
Well, hey, everybody, I'm having to come from my office. I'd recorded the sermon down at the church and unfortunately ran into some technical difficulties, so I'm having to redo it again. And I hope you will hang with me as we begin our study of the book of 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter is a letter, I believe, that is written for our time. It's a letter designed to help a faith community in the midst of difficult times keep their focus on God in the midst of turmoil. Now, 1 Peter is what's known as one of the general letters of the New Testament. That is, it's a letter written by folks other than the Apostle Paul. And while we traditionally attribute this letter to Peter, scholars are actually divided about who really wrote it. What we know is that the churches that the author we call Peter is writing to, we know they're facing tough times. Now, those scholars who think that Simon Peter, the first bishop of the church, wrote the letter, suggest that he's writing in the wake of the destruction of Rome by a fire that the city leaders would come to attribute to the Jewish community and the Christians. And for these scholars, Peter is writing to a group of churches. Perhaps they're composed of Christians who have fled Rome to prepare them for persecution throughout the entire Roman Empire. Now, other scholars aren't so sure about that situation. They note that the language of the letter suggests that the author is more educated than you might find in a fisherman like Peter. And they think that there are hints in the text that suggest that it was written after Peter's martyrdom in 64 CE. Now, we should note it wasn't unusual for disciples of a teacher or a leader to write in their name after they died. And so scholars suggest that the letter might originate in the first century, when Christians were being defined apart from their Jewish heritage, and they were being belittled in the broader Roman society. What we know from the letter is that its purpose is to comfort Christians who find themselves at odds with their cultural surroundings. It's a letter for people going through hard times and a reminder that they should never forget who they are in Jesus Christ. That brings us to our passage for today, 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. Like many letters of the day, Peter begins by setting up the theme for the entire letter. Now, N.T. Wright, the British biblical scholar, suggests that Peter is establishing the foundation for this letter. Wright drew on his own time of adding a new room onto his house, and he remembers working with the architect to design the room, and that in establishing the foundation, they were setting up the key to the success of the entire project. And he remembered that they needed to define the width and the height and the depth of the room in order for everything else to make sense. This passage from Peter provides the foundation upon which the rest of the letter can be understood. We begin with the width of the foundation, the width which Peter begins with as well in verses 1 and 2. Peter writes, "To God's chosen strangers in the world of the diaspora who live in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father chose you because of what he knew beforehand. He chose you through the Holy Spirit's work of making you holy and because of the faithful obedience and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May God's grace and peace be multiplied to you." The width, the foundation upon which Peter is establishing here, is that the followers of Jesus have been chosen by God for a specific purpose. Now, I have to confess, I get a little uncomfortable with the language of chosenness. We saw that for some religious communities, the Jews, and at a certain period in their time, being chosen meant that they were somehow set apart and everybody else was outside of the fold. There's also in Christianity, there's a belief in predestination. Folks are chosen for salvation, and other folks are chosen to be damned. In the Methodist Church, we believe that God chooses everybody. Everybody is chosen by God for a particular purpose. Now, the notion of being chosen is something I don't think we often think about. I remember in the Baptist church that I grew up in, we always, when we talked about somebody being chosen, we talk about their call. And that was usually reserved for the preacher, for the minister. He was called, and it was always sort of presented in a way. I remember as a kid thinking that the heavens were opening up and God spoke and said, "You are called to ministry." As a preacher, I can tell you the heavens never opened up for me. God has called me. God has given me a purpose. But it took time to discern that. All of us, however, are called. We're called in our baptism. We're called in our baptism to be followers of Jesus. And we're called to carry out God's work in the world. What work is that? The work of showing forth God's grace and love in the world. So friends, we should never forget that each one of us is chosen. Each one of us is called by God for a purpose. Now, what your purpose is, I don't know. That's something that we all have to discern in the course of our lifetime. But it's that purpose that gives us meaning. It's that purpose that moves us forward. It's that purpose that keeps us on the road of faith as we work to bring forth God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So don't forget that base level foundation, the width foundation, that we are all chosen and called by God. So having talked about the width of the foundation, the notion of our calling and purpose, it's now time to move on to the height. And I believe that Peter begins to speak about this in verse 3 of the passage. He says, "May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth." He said that we've been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He said that we have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is being kept safe in heaven for us, and through God's faithfulness, we're guarded by God's power so we can receive the salvation that he's offering us. N.T. Wright talks about this height dimension, this height part of the foundation, as the vertical dimension between us and God. And what Peter talks about here is praise, is gratitude, knowing that we come before God thankful that we've been given hope. We've been given an inheritance. We've been transformed anew. I think hope is the key here. And that hope is something we all need to be thinking about in these days. And I think what's interesting is this notion of it being a living hope. I think it's really important for us to think about. Because sometimes I think we think of hope as kind of a dead thing. You know, well, I hope it's going to be better in the sweet by and by. Not really allowing that hope to transform us. But a living hope says, I know that there's something more to this life. I know that God has prepared a place for me. I know that there is meaning and purpose to my life. And that makes me move forward in the grace of God. And when we have that living hope, that absolute confidence that God is at work in our lives and in our midst and has promised us so much more, then we lift up that hope. We lift up our praises to God. That's the vertical dimension, the lifting up of praise and gratitude to God. Part of the life of faith involves being grateful for what God has done for us and what God is doing for us and what God will do in the future. And so as we begin to think about our purpose in terms of our width, we need to be thinking about our praises and our gratitude in terms of our relationship to God. So having established the width and the height of the room, we then move to the depth. And this is honestly what most of this letter is about. Peter writes, "You now rejoice in this hope, even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials. This is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed, even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise and glory and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Most of the letter of Peter is talking about how we deal with trial and tribulation, how we go through difficult times. And part of what Peter is trying to say in this is that not that trials and tribulations are to be sought after in any sort of way, not even so much that we're being tested, although he will use that language some, but that the way that we live in the face of trials and tribulations is a means by which God's grace is revealed to the world. An example, some of us are finding ourselves in long lines when we go to the store. And it's very easy to become impatient in the midst of that experience. Now, it's a trial that we're experiencing because of this disease and these stay-at-home and all the safer social distancing orders that we're under. And yet, as people of faith, when we can live out that experience, when we can be patient, when we can be grateful, when we can be kind and generous in the midst of these trials, we reveal something of who God is to the rest of the world. See, trials and tribulations are hard. I am not saying that any of us should seek them out. And I understand that in the midst of them, it is hard to be faithful and joyful and generous when we're struggling. And yet, when we can find that place, when we can tie into that hope, when we can remember our calling and purpose, we can use those times so that folks will understand a little bit of who God is and who Jesus is. You can think of it this way. I think that sometimes God takes difficult circumstances, bad things, tragedies, but then redeems them for the good to reveal himself in the world. The one that I always remember, and I probably share too much, is the story of the Amish community in Pennsylvania, where a madman really came into a small schoolhouse and killed a number of students. I think it was 11, most of whom were girls. Now, obviously, that Amish community was devastated by this. They were grieving intensely because of what this person had done. But then they learned that this person's wife and child were going through persecution in the community, that people were blaming her for her husband's actions, that their husband dying in the course of the gun battle with the police meant that she no longer had an income and that she was really struggling. And the Amish community did something that a lot of us couldn't do. They went and they offered grace to this woman and her child. Yes, they knew that this woman and her child were connected to the person that had killed their own children, but they understood that their faith meant that they should live out a different value, a different sense of forgiveness and care than what we would see in the rest of the world. And their witness caused many, many people to be transformed, to have a different understanding of what it meant to be Amish for sure, and what it meant to be a person of faith. So what Peter is getting at in this part of the letter, and what he'll talk about some more later on, is how we allow our trials and tribulations to be a witness to God's presence in the world. It's not something that's easy, but it's something that happens when we have our foundation set up correctly. So this is the foundation of what we'll be looking at over the next several weeks. For Peter, we must always remember that we're chosen by God for a specific purpose. We are always to be a people praising God for God's mercy and hope, and facing our trials and tribulations with hope and grace can be a means by which God's grace and love is revealed to the world in a mighty way. Now, finally, I find myself again and again going back to verse 1, in which Peter writes to God's chosen strangers in the world of the diaspora. And as we continue to be dispersed, we are chosen by God to be a people who are different from the surrounding culture. And what does that look like? For me, I think it always goes back to the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. In a world in which folks seem to be getting less and less patient, maybe we're being called to slow down and be willing to wait. In a world in which many are down and depressed, we are chosen to find the joy in every situation. In a world in which people are quick to argue the rightness of their opinion, maybe we're chosen to offer words of peace and reconciliation. We have been chosen to reveal the light of Christ to the world. And that may seem strange to some, but it's how the love of God becomes real to all. So may we all live out our calling to shine forth God's mercy and hope.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. When the darkness appears, and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone, at the stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on.
Well, it's getting near the end of the day, and I just want to wrap up this service with just a couple of announcements and then move into our prayer time. First of all, our Child Development Center is going to be opening up this coming Monday, and I hope that you will keep our CDC in your prayers. Pray for our teachers, pray for our students, pray for our parents. We don't know what the future holds for that ministry over the next few months, but I just ask that you bathe it in prayer and pray for our church leaders that are making decisions about how we will go forth in the future. I also want to direct you to a couple, actually three stories on our website, cityroadchapel.org. The first is an update on Project Transformation and how you can assist with our partnership with Project Transformation. I hope you'll check that out and read through it carefully. Jane Armour has done a lot of work on that, so please, if you get a chance, check that out. Also, we have a listing of our three high school graduates. We have three, Jamie and Keys, Jacob Moore, and Brian Stinson, and so we hope that you will read the article about that. And then finally, I wrote a little article about why we're calling this online worship service Prime. It doesn't have anything to do with Amazon. There is a tradition behind it, and I hope you'll go read that article at cityroadchapel.org. And so now, as we move into our time of prayer, please take a moment to remember these persons and situations on our prayer list. Let us pray. Master of the universe, provider of us all, we bow before you in praise. We give you thanks for your unceasing love, your living hope, and the inheritance waiting for us. We know that we don't deserve any of it, but that your mercy shines forth in spite of us. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. Part of our chosen purpose as your body is to lift up the needs of the world. We thank you for the healings that we've seen among us, and we ask that your healing touch continue to go forth to those who are sick. We ask for your comfort for the grieving and your presence among the afflicted. Lord, be with our leaders in our city and our state and our nation, and give them the wisdom to lead us through very difficult times. And Lord, giver of all good gifts, give us the fruit of your Spirit, so that all the world will know of your mercy and love. We bring all of this before you in the name of Jesus, who took the form of a servant, humbling himself to the point of death, so that all the world might be redeemed and light would shine in the darkness. It's in his memory and honor that we pray together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm and the rain fall soft, and until we meet again, may God keep you close to him. Yes, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.